So glad you're here as we start a brand new series today called Sticks and Stones. We spent a month really working on this vertical relationship with God in our Awake series, which to me, I can only speak for myself, what a month it was just reconnecting with our Father and working on that relationship with Him. And so it's really good now to shift to be informed and inspired by that relationship that we have with God, to allow that to permeate our relationships with one another. And that's what this series is about. Have any of you, maybe it's just me, have any of you ever had this experience where you open your mouth and you say something, and right as it rolls off your tongue and goes into space, and audio waves travel pretty fast, not quite as fast as light, but right as it goes off your tongue and starts to slip into space between your lips and the ears of the person you are addressing, you regret it. Anybody had that experience? And you're like, come on, get back in there. I wish I could push delete, rewind, please. Examples like this in the aisle of Publix. What is your due date? I'm not pregnant. Or one of my favorites in my own life, which I've never done that one, of course. Actually, I think I have. But one of my favorites was I'm at the meat display at Publix, and I'm trying to choose my meat there, and they're out of what I was looking for, and nobody was at the counter, so I'm thinking, come on, I need some help, and my impatient self. And about that time, from the back now. But what I didn't account for, there are restrooms back there as well. But from the back, out walks a person that was dressed, and in the corner of my eye immediately looked like the butcher to me. And so he's walking by, and I said, hey, sir, I need some help. He said, okay. And I said, is there any more salmon in the back? And he said, I don't know. I don't work here. And I realized he was in scrubs, and he was a doctor. Turns out he was a surgeon. And his next words were, as he laughed at me, I go to your church. So listen, I'm the king, okay? And Kathy would give an amen. Where's your shaker, Kathy? I am the king of the foot in the mouth. Sometimes things are more serious than these. Think about it. It's easier to see words' effect on us than it is to think about our words' effect on others. And so think back in your life, your childhood, even your relationships up to today. The words that we hear from the time that we were very young, have a way of sticking with us, especially words of criticism or words that shame us or words that particularly encourage us in a strong way. They burn into our memory. Our self-esteem, our identity, our sense of worth, our sense of self are developed through our lives, in large part by the words that we hear spoken into us by others, by parents, by teachers, by coaches, by classmates, by siblings, by our spouses. These words shape us. And so suffice it to say, your mama lied to you. Okay, there's a few times that your mama lied to you, which is one of our sins of the tongue. But your mama meant well, but she lied to you when she said, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. And I think about my relationships in my life, and I'm not walking down here to embrace my wife. I'm getting this visual aid I forgot. Sorry, camera. But, you know, this is a stone. Sticks and stones will break my bones, and words will never hurt you. Now, stones hurt. Sticks hurt. Ask my brother. But I can remember a time when my brother and I had a very, this is after we were both came to Christ. And he was probably 21 and I was 16. When I spoke some very, very harsh words to him, and before my eyes, I saw my brother melt. I had never seen that before. Now, he had a new tender heart toward God that he hadn't had before, and he wanted to be a better man. But the words I spoke to him that day hurt more than any rock I ever threw at him or any stick or crowbar I ever hit him with. And I saw that. I never saw a reaction out of him like that for any physical pain that I caused him. And so it's just not true. Sticks and stones hurt physically, but words cut to the heart. Words, like stones, are weighty. They have a certain weight to them. And that's what I want us to talk about today as we lay the foundation for this series, is the power of our words. Proverbs says, the tongue has the power of life and death. Words give us the power to heal or to hurt, the power to give hope, the power to discourage, the power to build up, the power to tear down. There is no relationship, parent-child, marriage, friendship, work. There is no relationship that isn't made stronger or weaker by how you choose and use these weighty things called words. Now today, I'm just going to say we're going to state the problem. We're going to lay the foundation of this by just looking at the power of our words. And stay with us, please. The next 3 weeks after this, we're going to look carefully from a biblical basis of how to use our words for good and not for bad. But today, we want to make the strongest case we can biblically of a true picture of the power of our words. And we're going to look at a familiar passage, but to me, I find it one of the most vivid pictures in all of Scripture. It's packed with metaphors and word pictures about the power of words. And it's found in James, which is towards the end of the New Testament, written by the brother of our Lord, Jesus. His brother James, one of the leaders in the early church in Jerusalem, wrote this epistle that we see in James. It's called the Book of James toward the end of the New Testament. And we're going to look at chapter 3, verses 2 through 12. And so if you have a Bible with you or on your phone, pull it up. I would encourage you to pull it up. We'll have the verses on the screen. But we're going to just go through this verse by verse today. And so I encourage you to follow along as we do. Starting in verse 2, James says, we all stumble in many ways. Now, this is one piece of theology I think most of us could agree on. We all stumble in many ways. The way Paul said it is, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But I know I stumble in many ways. We all stumble in many ways. I knew it. When I heard the laughter, I thought, she's shaking that shaker. Great idea, by the way. along with giving the ushers a bucket of rocks. What they said to me was, "You are a brave man, John Tanner. You need to wear a helmet." Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses, first powerful word picture, to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal by that small bit. A 1 pound bit, a 1,000 pound animal, we can control the animal with that one bit. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Another powerful word image. That our tongue, our words, not only shape us, but they control the destiny and direction of your whole life. Likewise, verse 5, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider, here's the next great word image. What a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. You remember the big fires that we had a few years ago here in the East? We hear about fires in California all the time, and fires and earthquakes and landslides, and we think, why do people live there? And then they hear about our tornadoes and our sweltering heat and humidity. Why did anyone settle there? But then we got some terrible fires here, you know, just a year or two ago, and turns out it was started by a 15-year-old kid. Millions and millions and millions of dollars of damage, property loss. A 15-year-old kid playing with matches turned himself into the police and said, told his mama, "I started that." Wow. I was almost that kid. I was probably 10 years old and a little 10-year-old pyromaniac. And several of us neighborhood kids were playing behind my cousin's house in this big field. And we started off with firecrackers, and we ran out of firecrackers. And so then we were just lighting the Johnson grass in the field and then putting it out. Lighting it up, putting it out. Lighting it up, and then putting it out. And my friends were doing the same thing. So I lit up my little section, and it was the wind kind of picked up. My little neighbor over here, my friend Mark, lit it up, and he had a little trouble. And so there was a little commotion trying to help him get his out, and I turned my attention away from mine momentarily, and I looked back, and I couldn't get mine out. And the next thing I know, we have ourselves a raging fire. That's not an actual picture. I found this on the internet. We didn't have time to take any pictures. There are no pictures of this event. We were frantically scurrying to try to get these fires out. We're taking our jackets off, and we're beating it with our jackets. This field is surrounded by houses. And so this thing was roaring way up over our heads, and then neighbors started coming out, and neighbors, you know, were trying to help. They had brooms, you know, they were doing all this. And then the next door neighbor of my cousin, the German woman, spoke in her broken English and said, "We must call fire department." So I said, "No!" Just like the fire department would make this so real. And it would mean that my parents would find out about this. Even though going home with my clothes and my shoes all burned up would have been a little bit of a clue. But she called the fire department. The fire department came. And thank God they were able to put this blaze out before it took down the whole neighborhood. But I had, for the rest of my life, this image that James is describing here of what a big ordeal. It involved a whole neighborhood, involved, you know, a fire truck and firemen, all because of one little match that I struck as a 10-year-old kid. And so that, friends, is the power of our words. And here's the point of that. Your words can start a fire that you can't put out. Your words can start a fire that you can't put out. Wars have been started. Families have been destroyed over careless words even. He goes on to say, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body. So what does he mean by that? Our words corrupt the whole body. Well, here's the thing. Your kid mouths off. You don't just put his mouth in timeout, right? You put his whole little fallen sinful self in timeout. If you go off at work, your boss doesn't just fire your mouth. Your boss fires your whole self. If you verbally abuse your spouse does not divorce your mouth. Your spouse divorces you. And so the reality is that indeed, this mouth, these words have the ability to corrupt the whole body. And then he gets even more extreme with his language. He said it corrupts the whole body, it sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself on fire by hell. You know, so basically James is saying, please pay attention to this. This is so serious. Can I make this any more dramatic? I've given you like three illustrations, you know, three metaphors, and now I'm going to throw the hell word in there so that I can at least, for the weight of understanding, say, this is important. This is weighty. This is a weighty matter, and it matters. We need to face this issue. We need to deal with this issue because it is huge. And then he goes to another image. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. And I read this verse and I find it a little bit amusing because I really didn't know that they would say this in the first century. There's no circus. There's no zoos. There's no Sea World. But apparently, there was some of that kind of stuff going on. I mean, sea creatures? We have tamed sea creatures? I'm just trying to picture these first century people in the Mediterranean, you know, doing a little dolphin show. I don't know. It's just, maybe my mind just is weird, but I think, really? They've really tamed birds and reptiles, sea creatures. But we can certainly relate to that today with all the things that we've been able to do, all the technology, all the advances, all the medical advances, amazing scientific advances in our day. But we still haven't licked this. I think we'll find a cure for cancer before we find a cure for this. He's saying that despite our ability to tame and to bring things under control in the animal kingdom, we can't lick this. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. Full of deadly poison. Yet another image that he gives us. So in other words, we are carrying a loaded weapon wherever we go. A loaded weapon. So who's packing in here? No, don't answer that question. Everybody's packing. Everybody in this room is packing the heat. It's because you have this weapon that could be used for good or be used for evil, and it is loaded. And he says it's loaded with poison darts, you might say, because once it stings, it continues to infect the person who is on the receiving end if we speak evil words. And then he goes on to stop preaching and go to meddling. He says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. He's like, you come and you worship God out of this mouth. Maybe you sing his praise, or you maybe even lift your hands in praise to God, and then you criticize and berate and downgrade your spouse or your children in the car on the way home. Why is it that most of the worst fights you have with your family are on the way to church? Anybody that doesn't believe in spiritual warfare has never ridden to church together. But James is saying, on the one hand, we have profanity and we have criticism and we have contempt and we have sarcasm and we have biting words. And then on the other hand, we're singing these praise songs. He's saying, this should not be. It shouldn't be this way. And then he starts asking some questions, and this is where I want to ask you to participate a little bit. So answer out loud the answer to these questions. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives? Can a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. And so he's saying something is going on here in our hearts, because our word is the words are the fruit of what's going on in here. As Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so in order to deal with this problem, we got to deal with this problem. And that's the end. It's the end of the passage. And then he stops and goes on to another subject. And we're like, thanks, James. Thanks for leaving us hanging there. He leaves us hanging. And so let's pray. No. I'm not going to completely leave you hanging. But he does. He leaves us hanging. He just stops. No advice about what to do about it. He just says, you've got a problem, and it's really, really bad. It's a bad problem. And now I'm going to move on to another subject. But thankfully, throughout Scripture, there's a lot of teaching, a lot of admonitions that can help us. I'm really going to lean into that over the next 3 weeks, but I do, as we're moving to the positive beginning next Sunday, I just can't leave you completely hanging. So I want to give three takeaways in light of all of this. You know, the Apostle Paul would often say that. I mean, no offense to James, but Paul would not have done this. Paul was like, in light of all this, brothers and sisters. And so we're going to do the in light of all this. In light of all this, brothers and sisters, here's what I would say. And I got these, by the way, ripped them off from Andy Stanley. So in a message on words, he gave these three things. And so these are from Andy Stanley. He says, own the damage you have done and take responsibility for the fires you started. Own it. The first step, just like with any change, the first step is to admit it. The first step is to own it. Own the damage that you have done with your words and the fires that you started at work, at home, in the neighborhood association, you know, on Facebook, on Twitter. Own the damage that you have done or the fires that you've started. Two, go back in and to the best of your ability, repair the damage. Face it down. Go back in and to the best of your ability, repair the damage. At least be willing to do what you can do. You know, the Apostle Paul said, as far as it is possible with you, live at peace with all people. And I love the realism of that because he acknowledges that it might not be possible. And sometimes words do damage that apologies can't undo. So the most important thing that we can do in seeking to undo the damage have to do with actions, not words. They tend to speak louder. So you can imagine we've been talking about how important words are. Actions can be in some ways even more important, particularly when you're trying to undo the damage of the words. Words can do more damage, but actions can undo the damage way more than words can do. And so begin to imagine, how can I show my remorse? How can I show my love to the person that I may have hurt with my words? Apologies are important. Naming it is important, but it's hardly ever enough in and of itself. And so don't expect an apology to just instantaneously make things right that you have wronged with your words. And then third, and I think this is very important, incorporate this problem into your daily time with God. Incorporate this problem and this challenge, this huge challenge, into your daily time with God. We've just spent 21 days of prayer that has just been fantastic. We had an evening of prayer and praise. And think about that. All that's about words. You know, it's about positive words. It's about using this communication gift that God has given us, that he's made us in his image. I believe that's one of the main things that is the image of God in us, is our ability to communicate. The words, the logos, the words that we can say set us apart from the rest of creation. It's the image of God in us. And so no wonder the enemy would want to corrupt that great gift, that he would want to get us in that particular environment to corrupt that very thing that's so beautiful and that's so powerful and that's such a part of God's image in us. So when we praise and when we pray, we are putting the enemy in his place. And we're saying we're going to use these words and we're going to redeem this communication gift. And through that, also hopefully we will be transformed glory to glory in our hearts, so that we can then learn to love one another with our words as well. Psalm 19:14 is a great place to start. What if we ended our prayer time or began every morning with just this simple verse? Today, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This day. And so God, today, as we begin our day, God, today, I'm surrendering my mouth. And I fully believe that if we believe that what James wrote here was inspired by the Holy Spirit as the word of God for us today, it's certainly relevant. That if we say, Lord, I surrender my mouth to you today, I'm surrendering my whole self. I'm surrendering my body as well for his purposes. So Lord, today, this day, I surrender my tongue. My words carry weight. And I surrender this powerful gift that can also be used for evil and be a curse to others. I surrender it to you. That's what we want to do for those who feel that tug and that calling today to do so. Do it today, and I encourage you to do it every day. Let's pray. God, we first of all, we thank you for this gift that you've given us. We thank you for the ability, Lord, to communicate. Where would we be without it? But Lord, like everything that's been corrupted by sin, this too has been corrupted. It's been tainted. by the fall. And so, Lord, now this great gift that you've given us as part of the image of God in us, maybe even some theologians might say it's the main thing that's the image of God in us, is this logos, this word, this ability to speak. And yet we can speak life and we can speak death. We can speak blessing and we can speak curses. Lord God, today, do a work in us, inside of us, Lord, that we might break the power of canceled sin, that we might be set free from the bondage of our own fallenness in this matter of our words. In Jesus' name, amen.